Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Hello, this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tour's Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Looking for the perfect First Communion, Confirmation, or RCIA gift? Consider a beautiful, heirloom quality, made in Italy rosary from Ghirelli. A Ghirelli rosary will be prayed with and cherished forever, guaranteed. Shop Ghirelli today. That's ghirelli.com.
Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Praise be Jesus Christ.
Now and forever.
Hi, everyone. This is Father Connolly.
And I'm Alexandra Sullivan.
And you're listening to Raising Saints, Helping Kids Hear God's Voice.
We're going to take your kids' questions on God, the faith, and the church, and see if we can answer them.
So that all of us, all together, can grow in our faith.
Hi, Father Connolly.
Hello, Alexandra.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. What episode are we on? 8?
Sounds good to
me. I think we're on 8. Are you looking forward to it?
I am. I'm filled with Easter joy.
Good. Me too. Should we start with a prayer?
Let's do it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God, thank you for giving us so many ways to encounter you, so many ways to enter into your divine life, and so many ways in which you fill our lives. We thank you for the sacraments. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you especially for your resurrection, which we've just celebrated with such joy. We thank you for all of these blessings and all of those to come. And we ask you to watch over us, to guide us, and to fill our hearts with your love. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. I thought you were just going to do a glory be today.
Well, the Holy Spirit just moved me, all right?
Awesome. Okay, so we're going to start with a write-in question.
Yeah.
So you went to my daughter's third grade classroom.
Mm-hmm.
And in that classroom, they keep a box of questions. Is that correct?
They sure do. It's the special Father Connolly question box.
Okay.
For some reason, it has a picture of Captain Underpants on it.
No, it doesn't.
I swear it does.
No, it doesn't.
It sure does. Now, whether or not they could have known that was my favorite book as a kid, I'm hoping that's the connection. I don't really want to think of
what else
what other
thinking.
Association there might be, or it's just the random musings of a third grader.
Captain Underpants.
Yeah. But so
usually that box is stuffed full of questions.
Oh my gosh.
Right?
Yes. So we're never able to get through it, which is good though, because it keeps things spontaneous, you know, keeps it spicy with the third grade. And get to go in and just see what questions we can tackle.
Right.
And this one.
Do they stump you?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know everything.
Oh, wow.
Don't tell the kids, but. No. Who was it that said that the wisest thing is to know that you don't know, or
mm-hmm.
I don't know, that's like Plato or
something
like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Aristotle. I don't know.
Good. It's good you can admit it.
Augustine, philosophy degree. What good did that do me? Anyway.
Well, they're third graders. They think about very deep things.
They
so,
do.
Yeah.
They do. And this question was great. And the best part about it is that written, first the question is written, and then underneath that is a beautiful drawing.
Quite a likeness of you. Right?
A beautiful smiley face. I asked the kids, I said, so does this look like me? Mm-hmm. No. Well, good. Good thing. Cause...
He's got no hair.
Yeah.
And that would be a tragedy.
Let's not go there. But anyway,
we'll actually take a picture and post it.
Yeah. Right? Good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the question was, what is the point of a sacrament?
Yes.
That's a really good question. You know, what's the point? So we could have just asked, what's a sacrament?
Right.
But to ask, what is the point of a sacrament? And that's really at the crux of our lives as Catholics. What really makes us unique, what marks our religion, you know, not just our faith, but our practice of the faith, is this reality of the sacraments.
Well, some religions do have certain, like they have baptism, mm-hmm. which is a sacrament.
Right.
So, but it's different. No?
Well, baptism is sort of a unifying thing. There are other denominations of Christianity, right? We would recognize their baptism if it's done using water and the Trinitarian formula.
Got it. Yeah.
You have to say, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That's how Jesus instituted it. I've had situations where we've had to do what's called conditional baptisms. Mm-hmm. For instance, a mother who had a conversion and was coming to the Catholic faith and all of a sudden realized she wasn't sure if her boy's baptisms were valid. Mm-hmm. So the pastor said, well, you know what? Come on by and we'll do a conditional baptism. We'll basically saying, in case
that wasn't.
You hadn't been mm-hmm. baptized validly, I now baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And of course, with water.
Okay.
But yeah, we have this whole program of sacraments, if you will, that really kind of mark our whole lives, that characterize our whole lives. And I think a good way to start is to just give a sort of a definition right off the bat, right? So a sacrament is an efficacious sign instituted by Christ to gain grace. That might be a big phrase for a third grader, right? So how do we explain an efficacious sign? That was a big phrase for a 20-something year old, okay? So, but an efficacious sign. So it's a sign that actually does
something
that which it signifies.
Right.
So for instance, we're talking about baptism. Let's mm-hmm. look at baptism. Water is a sign in baptism for being cleansed of original sin. We know that we're being washed in this sacrament. We're being cleansed of original sin, and water symbolizes that,
mm-hmm.
but it actually brings that into effect.
Okay.
So an efficacious sign, a sign which accomplishes that which it signifies, instituted by Christ. That's so important for us too, mm-hmm. that we're not just, making things up as we go.
Right.
That we really are holding to the very institutions of Jesus himself. So the sacrament of the Eucharist, mm-hmm. Instituted at the Last Supper, that Jesus said, as he took and broke the bread, this is my body with the wine. This is my blood. Mm-hmm. Do this in memory of me. Yes, sir. Okay, we'll do this in memory of you. And so we're really doing, and we're repeating those words that Jesus himself spoke, that we're not just a group of people who sort of came together and said, wouldn't it be nice if we somehow commemorated Jesus by using these symbols and... No.
Yeah.
We, in this, for instance, the sacrament of the Eucharist really becomes his body and his blood, because he didn't say, this is like my body.
Yeah.
This is
this
a nice
symbol
of my blood. So instituted by Christ, a sacrament is an efficacious sign instituted by Christ to gain grace.
So all seven sacraments, there's biblical foundations for them all.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes. And that last part, grace, right? That's so, we know how much we need grace. It's so important to our lives that we so rely on God's grace, that free help from God to do all the things that, that we have to do. And I find myself constantly reminding people in the confessional that not only in confession are your sins wiped away, not only are you absolved totally in confession, forgiven 100%, but there's grace there. You know, like Jesus said to the hemorrhaging woman, go and be healed. Well, duh, you just healed her. So what are you repeating yourself for? Because he's telling her, go live your life now as someone who has been healed. Go and be healed. And that's because she's received grace now, she'll be able to do that. And we constantly need to be refilled with that grace. So again, talking about confession, you know, people often think, well, I haven't committed any mortal sins in a couple of weeks, so why would I go? That's great. I encourage everyone to avoid committing mortal sin. That's wonderful.
Right.
That doesn't mean that you can't go to confession still.
Right. I mean, we fall all day long, right? We make mistakes. We don't love the people around us like we should. We act selfishly. All sorts of things that, right, are not mortal, but are still just straining our relationships.
Right. And so even if all we're bringing to our weekly or biweekly confession is the same old laundry list of venial sins, we still receive such grace in that sacrament, that free help from God, because he knows he's calling us to live a supernatural life. We need his supernatural help to be able to do that. And so that's what he offers us in the sacraments.
You know, I saw this really cool artwork. I wonder if I can find it again, where it's a picture of a man kneeling at a in a confessional, and the priest is sitting on the other side, and behind the priest is the image of Jesus in the Divine Mercy Jesus. So all the rays of light are flowing from Jesus through the priest to the man kneeling in front of him.
Yeah.
And I thought that was just like a great image of what is actually happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's beautiful. It's really, that's what it's about. Confession, but all the sacraments, receiving this grace from God, that it's from God through humans, through signs, but that in a sacrament that we receive through this efficacious sign instituted by Christ, such grace to live these lives he's called us to. So just a word on the sacraments themselves, because the Catechism of the Catholic Church breaks them up really nicely into three groups. The sacraments of initiation, sacraments of healing, and sacraments at the service of communion, which I think is a really interesting category.
Yeah.
I was looking for that
description
word.
Yeah.
So, of course, the sacraments of initiation, right? Baptism, confirmation, Eucharist, that we're baptized, we're brought into the fold, you know, that we're made sons and daughters of God. Confirmation, we receive that gift of the Holy Spirit. We're sealed, as Bishop Dominic would say, we're sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit, as he basically slathers the chrism oil on the kid's head with a paintbrush.
Nice. Lovely.
He makes it so personal, though, Bishop Dominic. He's very, very, he's very invested in that. He's an example of a bishop who confirms with such love for each individual confirmandi. It's beautiful. Confirmand, I guess, would be the singular.
Yeah.
Anyway, in the Eucharist, that we're sharing in that communion of the church. So these sacraments of initiation, sacraments of healing, right? We know we're healed in reconciliation by that forgiveness of our sins. Like I mentioned, that hemorrhaging woman was healed. We are that woman. We are that person who needs the divine physician to heal our wounds. An anointing of the sick, of course, bringing us spiritual healing and consolation, as perhaps we're facing going into surgery, or maybe the end of one's life, you know, an old age, or whatever it might be. but actually cases of physical healing arising from this too.
Oh, really? You
know? Not that we expect physical healing anytime we receive the sacrament, but knowing that it's possible.
It's possible. If God wills it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I don't know if I mentioned this before. I know I mentioned this in Samantha's class, but my first time anointing someone, mm-hmm. I think I'd been a priest for about 4 days.
Okay.
And I still hadn't come to St. Columba yet.
Okay.
So I was at home and my home pastor said, oh, you know, Charlie from, you know, the 8:30 mass. I said, of course, everyone knows Charlie. He was a regular, you know, he's in the hospital. He's not doing well. How about you come with me and you anoint him?
Oh, wow.
And I said, sure.
Okay.
I almost said, you know, can I do that? And then, yeah, I can now. I'm a priest now. So we went, we saw Charlie, and I anointed him, and we left. And a few days later, Father McSweeney called me, and he said, you know, Charlie went home from the hospital.
Oh, wow.
I said, you're kidding me. He goes, yeah, yeah. So a few days after that, he did end up going home to God. You know, it was his time. God was calling him home. But that was sort of a little glimpse of this power of these sacraments, you know, that he did experience some degree of physical healing.
Right.
And I'm sure that the sacrament had something to do with that, you know? And so again, not that we expect that mm-hmm. every time, but, God is a God of miracles. We never want to mm-hmm. underestimate what he can do for us.
Sure.
So those sacraments of healing. Finally, the sacraments at the service of communion. I think this is so interesting, right? Because holy orders, we can kind of easily imagine that, well, sure, you know, becoming deacons, priests, mm-hmm. bishops, that's a life of service, right?
Sure.
So at the service of communion, the communion of the church, the communion of the people of God.
Right.
So, sure, holy orders, that makes sense, that a deacon, a priest, a bishop, someone who's called to serve, to foster that communion, that mm-hmm. unity. But the catechism also puts matrimony in here.
Okay.
And I think that's beautiful because that is also a life of service.
It is.
You know better than I do.
It is. Yeah. Absolutely. And communion, because you're raising a family.
Yeah.
And you're bringing the domestic church, your church in your house at home. And absolutely, it totally fits that category. Yeah. So
what's the point of a sacrament? Well,
what is the point?
To gain grace, certainly, to be initiated, to be healed, and to serve the communion to which God calls each of us.
Okay. So we did have a question from a parent. Maybe now would be a good time to address it, because the parent was questioning whether the sacrament of reconciliation was a requirement, because there are many Protestant religions who don't have that.
Right.
And they just believe if you turn to Jesus in prayer and say, I'm sorry for my sins, that's okay. So why is it that we have a separate sacrament rather than just saying, Jesus, I'm sorry that I did these things?
Yeah. And that was a great question too. And I love the way she asked it, because I think she asked us, right, if am I still forgiven?
Right.
If I don't go? Well, certainly God forgives every sin. But he has instituted this sacrament for us to be absolved. So
I don't mean to interrupt you, but I think a lot of people, the stumbling block is actually going to another person saying what I have done, because that's embarrassing to begin with. And then, like, why does this guy need to know?
Right.
Right.
Yeah. So first, I just want to say, as far as, you know, do I need to go? We do. We still believe in, you know, the thing called we often hear it called the Easter obligation. Right. So at least once a year, the Easter time would be like that time. When if you're only going once a year, that's a good time to just sort of, collect yourself, examine your conscience and go. Although I absolutely encourage every person. Mm-hmm. Don't let it go once a year.
Right.
Don't let it get to once a year, because like we said, there's such grace to be received in this sacrament. But anyway, why talk to another person.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why come to me? What do I know? Right. Well, nothing. And that's okay.
The point, right?
Yeah. That's okay. Because the priest represents God. Mm-hmm. Right? God has chosen, as he gave this commission to his apostles, right? And he said, whatever sins you bind on earth shall be bound. Mm-hmm. Whatever you loose, they are loosed. Mm-hmm. So there's that instituted by Christ right there. The priest as the representative of God, but also the representative of the rest of the church, because mm-hmm. our sins don't just affect our right. relationship with God. They affect the rest of the church
right.
as well. Think of the story of the prodigal son. That prodigal son disrespecting his father the way he did mm-hmm. and leaving home with his inheritance before his father has died, and that horrible act of disobedience, disrespect, lack of charity, lack of love, that didn't just impact the father.
No, it impacted the son, the brother.
It also offended the older brother. It also mm-hmm. offended, we don't hear about her, but the mother who's mm-hmm. around, I'm sure was heartbroken.
Too, right?
All of the servants, the friends, the relatives, are all impacted
sure.
by this sin of the prodigal son. And so with our sins, we impact the rest of the church. We're breaking not just our relationship with God, but also the rest of the church. And that's also why if we have grave sin on our conscience, mm-hmm. if we've committed mortal sin and we haven't yet gone to confession, that's why we don't go and receive Holy Communion, because we're not in communion, right?
Right.
We've broken communion. So hopefully that helps, you know, that idea that, yes, of course, God will always forgive us, and mm-hmm. he loves it when we go to him in private prayer. And like it says in scripture, when you pray, go into the secret of your room and, mm-hmm. and pray. Sure, we should absolutely do that
right.
Every day, even. You
maybe
know,
at the end of the day, an examination.
Yeah, yeah. And just say, God, I know I offended you in these ways and maybe in others, and I'm sorry. And
right.
Please help me to be able to do better tomorrow. Absolutely.
Right.
We should 100% talk to God on our own and mm-hmm. ask his forgiveness and trust that he does forgive us. But he has instituted this great sacrament of reconciliation, and he wants us to participate in that, mm-hmm. To really be absolved of our sins in the way in which he's instituted. So I hope right. that helps.
And also, when you go to reconciliation, you, like we said, you're getting an infusion of grace to allow you to be able to not continue committing those sins, correct?
Right.
So you can
absolutely.
Ask for that help in yeah. the sacrament, and that's where you would get it. So you don't keep falling into the same thing over and over again with God's help.
Yeah.
All right. I hope that answers both the what's the point of a sacrament question and the calling question. I mean, the writing question from the mom about reconciliation. So we're going to go to our second question, which is a recorded one from a boy. I think he's in fourth grade, but I had to double check that. He's having some trouble with a fellow student. So I'll let him tell you about it and we'll talk.
My question is that I've a desk neighbor at my school that drives me absolutely crazy. How do I show compassion to him?
So this sounds like a great question for a mom.
Yes. Actually, I think this is difficult because we all have people who frustrate us, sometimes living in the same house as us, right? Or someone we're at school that we can't avoid. And I don't know that I have any magic answers for this. Any more than Will, your mom has probably already told you and things, advice she's given you. But I was thinking about this, and I actually would like to talk about one of my favorite saints, Saint Therese of Lisieux. Would you like to say that for us?
Yeah, I know. As Bishop Barron.
As Bishop Barron.
Saint Therese of Lisieux.
Thank you. She has, if you've never read, parents, if you've never read her biography, her autobiography, it's an excellent book. Have you read it, Father Connolly?
Not yet.
Not yet? Okay.
It's on my list.
All right. We'll get to it.
I'm way behind on my spiritual reading. I know.
Well, you know, it's really, some people love her and some people are just, she's kind of like too sugary sweet for her, but I actually really, really enjoyed it. Mm. And there's a part in her story where she talks about one of the sisters in Carmel with her that really annoyed her. And, you know, whenever you hear of a saint saying that someone annoyed her, you're like, thank goodness, right?
There's hope for me.
Yeah, exactly. There's hope for me. So I'd like to read a little bit about what she says. Okay. So she talks about, there was at that time a certain nun who managed to irritate me in everything she did. The devil had a part in it, for it was certainly he who made me see all her bad points. Not wishing to give way to natural antipathy, I reminded myself that sentiments of charity were not enough. They must find expression, and I set myself to treat her as if I loved her best of all. Mm. So a couple of hard things to understand there. So not wishing to give way to natural antipathy, which would be naturally, I'm feeling inclined to not like this person. Mm. So she knew that that was her natural way she felt, but she didn't want to give into it. So Will, you already know that you feel frustrated. So that's the first step, knowing that this person frustrates me. She reminded herself that sentiments of charity were not enough. So she was trying to think good thoughts about this person, but it wasn't enough. Hmm. So that's what I try to remind my kids also. Try to think of this person's best points instead of the parts that bother you. So she said, these sentiments of love, charity, must find expression, and I set myself to treat her as if I loved her best. So she chose to do the opposite of her natural inclination, which was to get frustrated. So how did she do that? So first, she says, I prayed earnestly for this sister who caused me so much struggle, but this was not enough. So that's the first step, I would say. Pray for that person, which I'm sure lots of parents say this. Well, let's just pray for that person. Okay, that's the first step. But usually they still annoy us, right? And we're still dealing with that. So I tried to do everything I possibly could for her. And when tempted to answer her sharply, I hastened to give her a friendly smile and talk about something else. So sometimes, she says, when the devil made a particularly violent attack, if I could slip away without letting her suspect my struggle, I would run away from the battle like a deserter. Hmm. So Saint Therese would actually run away from dealing with this person. I love that. Like, I don't know how to deal with this. I know I'm going to make a mistake. I'm just going to get away.
Yeah, that's like in college when I would see the sink full of the same dishes that my roommate had used three nights before and still didn't wash. And I just ran out
run
of the apartment.
Run away, because nothing good is going to happen. But if we're in a classroom, we can't run away, can we?
No.
So what do we do, I guess? So I think what Saint Therese is trying to tell us is trying to first think the best of the person, second, pray for that person, and third, do the opposite of what you really want to do, which is scream and yell and get annoyed. Right? Mm. So maybe it would be doing something kind for this person, or just smiling and not getting frustrated. Anything that would be opposite of what you felt like doing at the time. Mm. But that's a lot harder to do than just saying it. But I mean, we're talking about a saint struggling here.
Yeah.
So of course it's going to happen. But I like what she says later on, because eventually this sister noticed the difference. And if I can find it here, I will. Let's see. So the sister said to her one day, her face radiant. So the sister that annoyed her, her face radiant, says to Saint Therese, "What do you find so attractive in me? Whenever we meet, you give me such a gracious smile." Saint Therese says, "What attracted me? It was Jesus hidden in the depths of her soul. Jesus who makes attractive even what is most bitter." You're laughing.
Low-key shade on that one.
A little bit.
Even what is most bitter.
What is most bitter.
No, that's good though.
So Will, I think there's no easy answer. But if we look to what Saint Therese is saying, it's trying to fight our natural inclinations to be frustrated. And when we fall, when we mess up, just giving that over to Jesus and saying, like, you know what, I messed up. Let me pray for this person. And then just, even if it's just a smile and ignoring whatever the behavior is, I think it's probably the best bet. If you can't get away from the situation, you're in a classroom, just really ignoring, turning away from it, smiling, whatever it is that is going to best work for you. And I just want to read another little bit. She says earlier in the same chapter, she says, I see now that true charity consists in bearing with the faults of those about us, never being surprised at their weaknesses, but edified at the least sign of virtue. I see above all, charity must not remain hidden in the bottom of our hearts. And Saint Therese had to have learned this from her father, because her father, Saint Louis Martin, I read a whole book about their family, which was very intriguing and interesting. But what Saint Louis, his daughters always used to say about him was that he would make an excuse for anyone's poor behavior. So if, and this is not me, if I see someone doing something that I wouldn't do, my first inclination is like, what are you doing? Like, are you kidding me? Like, you know, is a judgment call on who this person is.
Yeah.
And what St. Louis would do is he would make an excuse. So maybe that person is having a stressful day. Maybe that person's best friend just died. Maybe their mother is sick in the hospital. Whatever it is, he would find any reason to excuse their behavior. And I think that's another good resource, because we all have bad days and we all have really bad habits. And so if we can reframe other people's bad habits, it might help us just to fight those feelings of frustration. So anything to add to this?
No, that was great.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
You know, I actually, this is what I was thinking about before. I sat in Mass the other day, and it was one of those, I have to say, I was really thankful for it, because I'm feeling frustrated with myself lately. And I sat looking at people in Mass going, oh, well, what is that person thinking? Oh, what is, what, look at that, you know, just making like thoughts in my head that were like, just really judgy. And I was like, what am I doing?
Why is that person chewing gum?
You know, it just really,
is she texting during my homily? Not that I thought that, but
yeah, but you know, we all do it. And it was, I actually thanked God that he gave me the opportunity to realize I was doing that, you know, because I think a lot of times we overlook our faults. And I sat there going, oh yeah, I do this all the time. So it's normal. We're going to get frustrated. People can be annoying. I can be annoying. And
no.
Yeah, I can.
I don't believe it.
Yeah. Apparently I don't, if you ask my husband, apparently I don't get things in the trash can when I throw them out. Like, I just like throw it in there, and if it just misses, I just leave it. So this is one of those things like, well, it's right there. Just open the door, put it in the trash. So yeah, I mean, we all do things that annoy each other. So let's ask St. Therese and her dad, St. Louis, for a little help next time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Will, good luck with your desk neighbor.
Good luck, Will. All right. So should we wrap up?
I think so.
Okay. You want to tell everyone how to get in touch with us?
Yeah. So we love these questions we've been getting, and you know, we would love to get some more from the little guys all the way up to the teens. So, you know, you can email us if you'd like to record a voice memo. Email us at raisingsaintspodcast@gmail.com. Or if you have the Anchor app on your smartphone or tablet, whatever device you're able to use for that, you can find our show and record a message for us right there in the app. So all these great ways to do it, and we hope you do, because we're sure the questions are out there.
Right? Yes.
We have so many questions, and we'd love to do our best to help you answer them.
And I would say, if you enjoyed this episode, would you share it with some friends? We're hoping to reach out to as many people as we can. We'd like people to hear what we're talking about, because I know even as an adult, these questions are really difficult. You know, learning about our faith, there's so much to know. Yeah. And if you could share it with some friends, we would love to hear from them as well.
Yeah.
All right. So let's wrap up, and we will hear you again. We will hear you.
That's You'll hear us again.
You'll hear us again in a couple of weeks.
Okay. God bless you, everyone. Thank you.
Bye.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.
CMF Curo is the country's first Catholic healthcare ministry to provide an affordable health-sharing solution rooted in Catholic teaching and community. Learn more at mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast. That's mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast.